John chapter number 14 is where I'm going to read at this evening, John chapter number 14, and then we'll finish this evening in Philippians chapter number 4. You don't have to turn there now, but John chapter number 14 is where we're going to be looking in the Word of God. John 14, it starts out, and we all know it, most of us has heard it, when Jesus is talking with His disciples. And He's trying to get them ready for Him departing, for Him leaving, for Him being tried and crucified and dying on an old rugged cross and then being buried. And he's trying to be proactive, as my son said in our last time of prayer down here. And that's been on my heart. Also remember, men, it's prayer breakfast time over here at 8:30 Saturday morning. For all the men in the church, we're having our men's prayer breakfast, so come and be a part of that. The deacons will be cooking breakfast for us, so we're looking forward to it. But in John 14, we see that Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." This is not where I'm going to preach. I'm just getting there. He says, "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." And that's some of the key verses in John chapter number 14. And it's been on my heart, and I've been thinking on this. It's amazing how Jesus was constantly reminding His disciples of not what had happened in the past, but He's reminding them of what is coming in the future. And He is trying with everything that is in Him as the very Son of God to get those men and to get His followers ready for the day that takes place. And that's kindly where I'm headed tonight in the preaching. But I would like for you to turn with me, if you will, John 14, and let's stand together. Verse 27 of John 14. All of this chapter is Jesus speaking. There's a couple of verses in here where it's given other illustrations, but look what it says in John 14, 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." Let me ask you, you think the world can give any kind of peace? The world? No. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Then He says this, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He says, "You have heard I have said unto you, I go away." So He's telling them again. He's telling them before it even happens, "And come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, hath nothing in me, that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." I'm interested, as I was studying this week, and the Lord began to deal with me about it. I want to preach on this subject. It's at an all-time high. It's at an all-time high. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here this evening. Lord, thank you for the way that you have so burdened my heart. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, I thank you as I truly feel led of you. I pray that you continue to lead us, continue to direct this church. Continue to speak to our hearts. Continue to give us wisdom and knowledge. Help us, Lord, to ask and pray. Help us to have a desire. Lord, help us to listen and help us to do with what we have heard. And I pray tonight, as I stand here, that I cannot preach this message without you, Lord. Please help me. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. I heard my grandbaby saying, "Pap, what are you doing, girl?" Amen. It's at an all-time high. I went back and I read the beginning of a book that I had started a little bit ago. And then I went back and I read some more today. And then the Lord dealt with me about this message. I'm going to give you kind of a refresher on what I had read the other day. And Lee Strobel book, he's the one who wrote the book, The Case for Christ, The Case for Grace, The Case for Faith, The Case for Easter, The Case for Miracles. And he's just written a new book, Is God Real? And it said 200 times a second. I said this the other day in a message. 200 times a second around the clock, someone is asking an online search about God. 200 times a second around the clock, someone is asking on their computers or phones, they're searching on the internet about God. Now here's the scary part. If you search it in Google search, is God real or is Jesus real? You can get 3.7 billion results. 3.7 billion results. Now, how confusing is that? I'm not saying that there can't be a couple of results and there can't be a couple of viewpoints on that thing, but at the end of the day, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through and by Jesus Christ. And you say, yeah, it's just because you're narrow-minded. Well, no, that's just because what the Bible says, amen? But it's amazing to me that 200 times a second, every second, around the clock, all around the world, people's wanting to find out about God. And at the same time, I had to write this down again. At the same time, rates of depression and anxiety are soaring among young people. A 2023 report, the Centers of Disease Control said this, 2023, 60% of female students express sadness and hopelessness in the past year. 60%. Now, I would like to say that 60% is unchurched people. But you know as good as I do, 60% of female students that express sadness and hopelessness, that's in here too. You understand that, church? That's sitting in here. That's everywhere you look. 60% of female students feel hopeless, but then this one right here ought to grab every one of us by the neck and make us stand up. 25% of the 60% has made suicide plans. I'm thinking to myself, man, it's at an all-time high. We're living in a time right now to where our world is going absolutely crazy. We're living at a time right now to where depression and anxiety is soaring like it's never soared before. Are you with me tonight? And then I'm reading again from a total different book and from a total different author. And this is what I found out today. And we're going to look at this verse right here in just a minute. You don't have to turn down now. We're going to look at it. That's where I'm going to be preaching tonight. The most highlighted verse in the entire Bible today, according to the Amazon Kindle tracking, the most highlighted verse in the entire Bible, according to Amazon's Kindle tracking, we're going to look at it in a minute, it's Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Anxiety, listen now, I'm not done. You can go ahead and turn there if you'd like. According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America. Now listen to this. Anxiety, stress, anxiety, and depression. This is how many has been diagnosed. I was telling Brother Brant the title of the message because he puts it on sermon audio for me. I said, Brother Brant, I want you to put the title of the message that I'm going to be preaching tonight. It's at an all-time high. And I told him what I'm fixing to tell you right here. And he said, yeah, but Pastor, that's just those that's been diagnosed. 40 million adults. 40 million adults here in the good USA has been diagnosed with an anxiety disorder. 40 million. 40 million. Are you with me? 40 million adults diagnosed. Not that they stress a little bit, but they have an anxiety disorder. Now listen to this. Some of you are already reading Philippians and you missing it. We're going to read it right here in just a minute. Listen, these 40 million, I found out today as I was reading, go to the doctor 3 to 5 times more than the general population. Anxiety, depression, 40 million diagnosed with an anxiety disorder are 3 to 5 times more likely to go to the doctor. Man, I'm telling you, we are living in a crazy time. We are living where so many people are dealing with so much in life, and we don't even know what to do with what we're dealing with. We are dealing with so much stress in the day that we are living in. Young people's dealing with more. Mamas and daddies are dealing with more. Worldly people's dealing with more. Church people's dealing with more. Amen. Grannies and papas are dealing with more. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people dealing with a lot of stuff. I was even studying today. I hate to even tell you this. And I'm not going to tell you the name of it. You might be able to find it, but I don't even care if you can find it. I hope you can. But I was studying today, and I found this out. I found out in Texas, there's this individual who started this room that you can go in. And you got to pay like $50 to $100 for just a few minutes to go in there. And it said, women's going in there, men's going in there, couples are going in there, doctors are going in there, psychiatrists are going in there, and you can pick 3 items. You can pick a sledgehammer, you can pick a stick, or you can pick a piece of pipe. And then you can call ahead and tell them what you want in the room. You ready for this? They'll put furniture in the room. They'll put dishes in the room. They'll put TVs in the room. And what you get to do, you got to put on some safety goggles and a pair of shoes. But you can go in there for 5 or 10 minutes and tear up everything in that room. They said, people's leaving out there going, whew, that's some good therapy. Saves you from doing it at your house, amen. I'm thinking to myself, when you get to the place in the world that we're living in that you can make money off people tearing up dishes and furniture and TVs, we're in trouble. Are you with me? Some of you are looking at me and licking your lips and your mouth dry because evidently you're tearing up your furniture, TV, and dishes. Man, I'm not making light of it. People need help. Are you with me? There's a lot of people need some help. There's some people in here need some help. Amen. Just need some help tonight. We need some help from the Lord. We need help to direct us. He needs to give us some strength. And let me get into this now, all right? I got some more introduction, then I've just got a couple of things, then we're going to be done tonight. See, when I read those verses, Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus knew his death was coming. I done said this. Jesus knew his burial was coming. Jesus knew that his disciples was going to be scattered. Jesus knew that his disciples was going to be denying. Jesus knew that his disciples was going to be doubting. That is why Jesus over and over and over again tried to tell them and tell them and tell them and tell them this is coming. But hear this. But Jesus didn't take it away. He tried to tell his disciples that he was going to die. He tried to tell his disciples that he was going to be crucified. He tried to tell his disciples that they needed to get ready for it. But he did not take away his death. He did not take away his crucifixion. And he did not take away those things in life. But he wanted those men to be ready for it. You know what I believe tonight? I believe that there's a lot of things that happens in life. And there's a lot of things that happens in life that I wish and you wish we could take it all away, but we can't. But I believe tonight what Jesus is wanting us to do is to be ready for life. I don't know that a lot of us, and even myself, I don't know a lot of times that I'm even ready for life. I really wish that I could just live in a dream world and kind of just float around like nothing was ever going to go wrong again. It's just not that way. Life is life. Can I hear an amen on that? Life is life. We were sitting here the other day, and I think it was on a Sunday morning, and I heard something crack and pop, and I turned, and these lights right up here just blew out. You're sitting up here under them, wasn't you, Pastor Jason? I heard crack, crack, pop, and I looked, we lost two lights. You say, well, that ain't no big deal. Well, they went out during church. Lights are going to go out during church. Thunderstorms are going to come our way. Are you with me? Phone calls are still going to happen. Situations in life is not always going to go great. We got folks sitting all around here right now that's had cancer, that's been diagnosed with cancer. We got people sitting all in this service right here tonight that are still dealing with some hard things in life. And don't you wish I could get up here and say, as your pastor, under the authority of Pleasant Hill, it's gone from here on out. I can't do that. You know I can't do that. But I pray this message tonight will help us all. Hope it'll help us all. Amen. I wrote this down, and I wasn't trying to be funny, but as I was praying today, the Lord, I feel, give me every word that come to my mind. Give me every word to write right here. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to preach the message. Listen close. If I could get away, if I could get away, just me and my family. If I could get away, just me and my family, and we could unplug from the world. If I could get away, just me and my family, and we could unplug from the world, we'd go to a deserted island where there was no one else there but us. Just me, my wife, our families, our family and their kids. Boy, if I could just get away, take my family with me, get away on that deserted island. Listen, you talking about life being great. It would be great. And then this thought come to me. Somebody in your family would fall and get hurt on that island. Someone in your family would get cutting firewood. Someone in your family would trip and one evening probably fall in the fire. People in your family would start getting lonely. And then this one hit me. Someone in your family would wake up in the middle of the night and they'd have a toothache. Are you with me? I'm talking about getting away where no one else was there but just my family. Someone would wake up in the middle of the night. It'd be me because my teeth's awful. Wake up in the middle of the night with a toothache. And then somebody the next morning would wake up and they'd have a headache. And then there you are, just you and your family, and then you'd get in an argument. Then you'd start battling over who was in charge. And then you know what's going to happen when you stay there long enough? You're going to run out of soap. You're going to run out of soap. Then you're going to run out of deodorant. And then everybody's going to get really aggravated. And then not only that, you know what else you're going to run out of? Just you and your family. Just get away from everything on the dessert. Then you're going to run out of toilet paper. Then toothpaste. But if I could just keep my family away long enough and teach them how to handle life, then I could bring them back and then they could figure out that they don't know how to handle life. Did you hear that? If I could keep my family away long enough to learn how to handle life, then I'd bring them all back, and then they'd figure out that they don't know how to handle life. You might as well say amen on that one. I'm not throwing my kids or my grandkids away, and I'm not throwing them to the world. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to teach them. I'm going to train them. I'm going to hold on to them. I'm going to do everything the Word of God teaches me to do with them. But one day, I'm going to have to let them go. And when I let them go, they're going to have to learn what life is really all about. It's going to be real important what I prayed about. It's going to be real important what I've taught them. It's going to be real important how I've trained them. But you know what? One day I'm going to have to let them go. You know what they're going to experience in life? Life. Are y'all with me? Am I preaching crazy tonight? No, it's life, man. One day they're going to experience life. Me and my wife was at the house the other day, and I hate to tell you this, but I cried. I just cried. I was watching a TV show and I cried. You say, what was you watching? Andy Griffin. I was watching Andy Griffin the other day and I cried. Tina looked at me, she said, that's so sad. And I was like, I know. Remember that episode when Opie shot that bird out of that tree? Opie shot that bird out of that tree, and Andy said, son, you're going to have to raise him with birds. And he fed them, and he took care of them, and he kept them in that cage. And I wish I could remember their names. I bet Adam can remember their names. You can't remember their names, Adam? Lincoln, Blinken, and something, maybe. Nod. Lincoln, Blinken, and Nod. And Andy said, son, it's time. He said, for what, Pa? He says, time to let them birds go. He said, but you do it whenever you feel like you're ready to do it. He said, no, you're right, Pa. I'm going to let them go. He opened the door of that cage, and he reached in there, and he grabbed out Lincoln, Blinken, or Nod, whichever one it was, and he said, but Pa, what am I going to do if it can't fly? He said, son, you've done a good job. Let it go. It'll fly. Anybody seen that besides me? Raise your hand if you've seen. I was like, oh. Life is hard sometimes. It's hard sometimes. If you're in Philippians chapter number 4, say amen. Look at verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. This is the most highlighted verse in an Amazon Kindle, is these verses I'm reading. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest and just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. When I begin to study here in these verses, that being careful means anxious. And when I begin to study about this word anxious, and that is where we are heading into an all-time high, this anxiety, it comes from the thought. This anxiety, and to be careful, and this word anxious and this word careful, when you study it, it means comes from the thought. It means to take thought. It is the definition of the idea of distractions in life. So when you and I are studying here in Philippians 4, and we are looking at verse number 6, be careful for nothing. That means to be anxious for nothing. And that word anxious comes from your thoughts. It is to take a thought. It is the idea of distraction. It even goes as deep as to say it is a war, it is a battle, and it is that that pulls you apart from the inside. Pulling you apart from the inside. You ever been there? Me too. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Then it says, let your requests be made known unto God. Notice how this verse is written. Didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it before in the past. Everything, prayer, supplication and thanksgiving. Prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. That is specific prayers. That is general prayers. That is pinpointed prayers. And then it is with thanksgiving. Giving the Lord thanks. Thanking Him for all good things. Then it says, let your requests be made known unto God. I believe that a lot of times when I'm anxious, a lot of times when I'm stressed, a lot of times when I'm dealing with anxiety, a lot of times when I'm fearful, a lot of times in life when I don't want to let the bird go, a lot of times in life when I don't know what to do, what I begin to do is I begin to let my request be made known unto God, and I skip 1, 2, and 3, but more than anything, I skip number 3, and I don't thank Him and I don't praise Him, but I just sit down and I say, Lord, give me, Lord, help me. And a lot of times when I get done praying my anxious prayers, I get up and I'm more anxious than I was before I even prayed. You say, preacher, you are messed up. I know I am. And I'm so glad God sent a bunch of messed up people over to hear a messed up preacher, amen? Because a lot of times in life, I am anxious, and when I go to pray, I'm even more anxious, and a lot of times even when I get done praying, I'm still anxious, because now I'm anxious whether He's going to answer or not, and I'm anxious and I'm worried about whether it's really going to happen or it's not going to happen, and every bit of my anxiety always stems from my thoughts. You with me? Anxiety, it's always in my thoughts. After our prayer time, I'm stressed because I do not enter into my prayer closet thanking Him and praising Him for who He is and thanking Him and praising Him for what He's done, and allow my mind to look at all the good things of God instead of my mind is always thinking on the bad things, and my mind is always thinking on the negative things, and my mind is always in a turmoil, and my life is always in a buzz, and I'm always trying to figure out how can I fix it and what can I do and how can I fix that and how can I fix that. And then God, now how are you going to fix all these problems? And Lord, how are you going to fix all these anxieties? And how are you going to fix this and this and this and this and this and this? I never even thanked Him for all that He's done and all that He's going to do and for how good He is, and He's holy and He's righteous. Amen? And He's everlasting and His word is true and His promises are true and the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. And I was on my way to hell, but He come by and saved me and changed me, and He directs my path, and He loves me, and He knows what I need. He knows what's going on today. He knows what's coming up tomorrow. He knows every thought. He knows every hair in our head, and they're all numbered. He knows everything, every single thing about every single one of us. He's all-knowing. He's all-power. God is in control of all things, and yet I'm trying to tell Him how to fix it all. And it makes me more anxious because I don't think He's fixing it the way He should be fixing it. I think sometimes when I pray, I don't need to ask for anything. I think a lot of times when I pray, I just need to thank Him for who He is and trust Him that He is going to fix it. It's anxiety. Verse 7 in our text in chapter number 4. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts. And here's the word again, minds through Christ Jesus. Verse number 8, after it goes through all those things, he says, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, he said, think on these things. The heart and the mind, the list of things to think on. It was down in our prayer time when the lady stayed up here and the men went down there. I've had something on my heart that my son Jackson said down there. He said this. He said, most of the time, all of my prayers are reactive prayers. It's after it's happened. The facts, it's already happened. It's already taken place. Now I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do about it. So then I react and I pray and I react and I think and I react and then I speak. And he said, I wonder what would happen if we prayed proactively. See, and that's what I began to study as I was studying today, Jackson. The Lord was preparing them. The Lord was telling them. The Lord was teaching them. And he was doing all this teaching, all this preparing before it ever even happened. And I wonder what would happen if you and I tonight come to this altar and said, Lord, I have no idea what tomorrow holds, but I know that you hold tomorrow. And Lord, I have no idea what kind of thoughts is going to be in my mind, but God, you already know, but tomorrow, and you're already in tomorrow. So I'm coming to you tonight, Lord, and I'm asking you to touch my mind, to touch my mouth, to keep me where I need to be. Help me not to get all twisted up and knotted up in the things of the world. I don't even know what's coming tomorrow, but God, you do. But I need your strength not only for today, but I need your strength for tomorrow. I need your guidance for tonight, but I need your guidance for tomorrow. I need your wisdom for now, but I need your wisdom for tomorrow. Lord, I don't know what my family's going to face, but God, give them strength for tomorrow. Lord, I'm trusting you not only for today, but I'm trusting you for my tomorrow. Are you with me? I'm going to trust you, Lord, and I'm going to thank you. I'm going to trust you and I'm going to thank you. Oh. I even wrote this down. Why do you panic when company's coming over? Some of you do. Some of you don't. The reason why you panic, some of you's done, some of you's don't, when company's coming over, is because you know things ain't the way they're supposed to be, and they're coming over, so then you panic. And that's the way that most of us live our lives, in a panic, in anxiety. Because you know what we do? Listen now. You know what we do? I didn't say what you do. I said, you know what we do? We put it off. And then we put it off, and then we put it off, and then we put it off. And then the next thing you know, company's at the front door, and you're thinking, uh-oh, now we're panicking, and now we're arguing, and now there's anxiety, and now there's stress. I wonder what would happen if we'd do a little of it every single day. Then when it come time for the big things to happen, it wouldn't take us so long to get prepared for the big thing that's going to happen because we've been working on it every day of our lives. I hope this is making sense, because some of you are looking at me like I've lost it. Wonder what would happen. Why does it take you 6 and 8 hours to get ready for company? Because you put it off, and 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 then you put it off, and then you wait to the deadline, then you're like, all right, everybody, front and center. Company's coming over tomorrow. Here's your list. You do this, you do this, you do this, and you do that, and get on with it. You say, what are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about life. Miss Watkins knows how I operate. She knows how I operate. I was in her on my phone. All right, here I am. She knows how I operate. She's been around me more than the rest of you. And I'm sitting there, and I've got pieces of paper on my study, and I'm going. And then I get to this one. She comes in there, and she says, Keith. I look up at her. Eyes bloodshot. I'm like, what? You don't have to do it all today. I know I don't have to do it all today. I know I don't. I'm just doing the ones. They're texting me back before I can get them text. You don't have to do it all today, Keith. Just do a little bit along the way. If you try to do it all at one time, it's going to cause you stress. If you try to get it all done today, you're just going to be anxious and it's not going to be any good. Are you with me? Do a little that day. Do a little the next day. And then do a little the next day. And you'll get it done. But don't wait. So the coach calls you and says, hey, can you come preach Friday? And you're like, Lord, you dealt with me about I can't go preach until I get it done. Will you give me a waiver on this one? No. So what are you telling me? How long have you had them? How long did you know? When did you hear the instructions? When did you start doing what I told you to do? Why did you put it off to the very last? Why did you wait till Thursday? You know you got to go back and preach Friday. Why did you wait till Thursday evening? It's not Tina's fault. Don't get mad at her. You know what? That's anxious. That's anxiety. That's stress. And you know what? A lot of times, you know who we're doing it to? We're doing it to ourselves. Proactive. I want to ask you a question. Is there any way that anxiety is all produced? Is there any way that my anxiety and your anxiety, it's all produced, it all comes from my thoughts? Can that have a lot to do with our anxiety is our thoughts? Anxious people. Write that down. Not only anxious, but write down anxious people. Look with me, if you will, in Philippians chapter number 4. I'm about done. Stay with me. He says, be careful for nothing. That means anxious. Everything, prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. He keeps dealing with our minds. And then he goes down in verse number 8 and he says, virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And then in verse number 9, after he's dealing with all this anxiety and all of our thinking and the way we think and the way we should be thinking and the good things we should be thinking about, then he says this, verse 9, these things that you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. In its context, that means this. Most people who worry or who are anxious or who are mad, or who have trouble with sin, and even with addictions in our lives, all of us, listen close, all of us need help. All of us need help. I'm going to go ahead and break something to you. Every single person in the service tonight, we all need help. But we just don't need help. We know we need help from the Lord. But we just don't need help from the Lord. You know who else we need help with and from? People. The Lord be our helper. But look what he says in verse 9. Think about what we've just read and look at verse 9. These things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You know what the Lord dealt with me when I was studying this verse? We need help from the Lord, but we need help from someone who has also received help. We need help from someone who has also received help. Does that make any sense at all to anyone in here? Have I left you all? I need help from the Lord, but I need help from you because you've received help. I've seen the Lord has helped you in this area. You've received help, so now I need you to help me. So then you can ask them questions. Then you can listen to their stories. Then you can learn from them. And then you can look at their life. He said, what you have seen in me, he said, do that. And he said, what you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Life. You got any struggles in your marriage? Find someone who has struggles in their marriage, but God has given them victory over some struggles in their marriage, and ask them, how did you do that? What did God help you with, and how did He help you with that? Have you ever seen someone that's raising small kids? And then you look at someone else that has been raising some small kids, and now they're at the next level, and you say, how did they do that? They have one way to know how they did it. You got to go to them and say, hey, how did you do that? What worked for you and what didn't work for you? I mean, what gave you peace and what gave you victory and what helped you in that area in your life? It's quiet in here. I know I'm not preaching crazy. Amen. What about teenagers? What about people that are happy? Not just look happy, but they're truly happy. They have joy and they have peace. What about people that's overcome sin in their life? I'm not talking about sinless, but they've overcome some sin in their life. What about people who's got victory over addictions in their life? You know how? You need to go to someone and say, hey, I know that I've heard you say that you was addicted, or I know that you had trouble with this. What did you do? I know. And the last thing you need to tell them is this. I just trust the Lord. Well, I'm trying to trust the Lord. But how did you do it? How you just trust the Lord, brother? Well, thank you for your advice. But what did you do? Tell me, teach me, show me. I want to do it the way you done it, because something worked in your life. And give me some clues. Give me something. Teach me something. Show me something. I know that I mention this name a lot. Some of you know him and some of you don't. But you know why I mentioned the name Cleve Honeycutt so much in my messages over the last 22 years? Because me and that man is a whole lot alike. And that man has had struggles. He was in war. He's seen people. I ain't even going to get into some of the things that he's told me that he has seen. He has laid awake at night. He is worried and he is fret and he has wrung his hands and he's cried himself to sleep. And he's walked the hall in his house. But when I go to that man's house and I sit down and I say, listen, I'm struggling with some things and I need to get this off of me and I need you to help me. He can look at me and he can say this to me. He can say this to me. I've been there, Keith. And I know exactly what you're feeling. But let me tell you what will help you, son. Let me tell you what will give you victory through that, son. He don't call me preacher. He calls me son. Let me tell you what will help you through that, son. Let me tell you what God has done for me down through the years, son. And I can promise you, God is no respecter of persons. And what He has done for me, He can do for you. And the way He's helped me, He can help you. And the victory that He's given me, He can give you. And I sit there like a chick, trying to get some worms from mama. I'm saying, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me. Show me, show me, show me, show me. And there's never been a time, never been one time that I didn't leave out of that man's house stronger than I was when I went in. I didn't go in there and sit down, dump my soul out to him and him say, trust God. He told me how to trust God. He told me what to do to get through it. And you know why I went to him, young man? You know why I went to him? Because I know that he's battled with what I battle with. Those things that you have learned and heard and seen in me, do. And then he mentions peace. You keep trying to fly through this thing as a Lone Ranger, and you're going to struggle for a lot of years. We're fools to say that we don't need God. And we're even fools to say that we don't need each other. I've come to some recovery meetings. I've not been to all of them. And here lately, I ain't been to none of them. Today's someone who stands and says, I've been clean for a year. I've been clean for 2 years. I've been clean for 5 years. I've been clean for this amount of time. And without fail, Miss Audra, how many times have we heard this? How'd you do it? How'd you do it? We need help, don't we? And the Lord has provided us with the Word of God, with His power, with His Spirit, and He's given us a wealth of knowledge all around us. Just take a little time and look around and say, how'd you do it? How'd you do it? I'm going to lunch with you, and all I want you to tell me is how'd you do it? And you know what's the first thing they're going to tell you is I don't have it all figured out. That's what they're going to tell you, Miss Sandy. I don't have all this all figured out, but I can tell you what God's done to help me, and I can tell you what I've done. How'd you do it, Miss Sandy? How'd you get to where you're at right now? How did you get through? I'm not going to list them. How'd you get through that, sister? How'd you get through it, Steve? You can tell me about the judgment house, but there was some things after that, wasn't there? Wasn't there, Miss Sandy? Tina, how'd you make it through that? Mom, how'd you get through all that hardness? How'd you get through that when I was a little boy, Mom? How'd you make it? There's a way. Are you with me? Miss Patsy? There's going to be someone come to you one day, sister, and they're going to say, how'd you do it, Patsy? And you're going to say, well, it was God. And then you're going to say, and then God helped me and I done this. So you don't even know what this is yet. And then you're going to say, but then, and then I done this. And then you're going to say, and then I got here. And then you're going to say, now I'm here. If you're with me, say amen. 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 And amen. The God who gives peace shall be with you. And then I'm going to end with this. You've heard me say this a million times and I'm done. I loved it when I went to the Holy Land, but I really messed up when I went. And it looks as if the way the world's going, the chances of me ever going back there again are slim until we all go together one day. But there's a man who is now in heaven. Dr. Johnny Tiller was my tour guide. And I missed so much on that trip, but there was one thing that I learned. And every morning he would say this. You've heard it, you've heard it, you've heard it, but you got to hear it again because it goes with this message. Don't let the two great thieves of yesterday and tomorrow rob you of your victory today. Yesterday was in the tomb, tomorrow's in the womb. We have been given the greatest gift that we could all be given. It's time. Every second, every minute, every hour of every day is a gift from God. Quit wasting your time. Quit throwing the gift of God away. He's given you a gift called time. Use it wisely. I heard that every morning for 12 or 15 days. As I was praying and studying today, I heard Johnny Tiller's voice. I heard it just as clear as day, Joe. It was like I was standing there in the Holy Land, one eye open and one eye closed, going, talk to us. And they said you go to 5-star restaurants. I'm just going to chase a rabbit right here. 5-star restaurants in the Holy Land is not like 5-star restaurants in the good U.S. of A. I cannot eat fish with eyes looking at me. I'm like, how do you eat that? And it's going, don't do it. It's different, I'm telling you. You wake up in your five-star hotel and you smell the breakfast and you're like, what is that smell? You're like, that's that five-star breakfast. I'm like, that don't smell like no five-star breakfast to me. Which I'm a little picky. You say, yeah, but you didn't go with so-and-so. I know, their trips are better. But you know what the problem with anxiety and stress and all that is? Yesterday. You know what yesterday is? It's just a memory. It's gone. You know what tomorrow is? It's whatever we can work up in our imaginations because we're not even there yet. Did you hear that? Yesterday is a memory. Tomorrow's just whatever you're thinking it's going to be. You ain't even there yet. You know what matters? Let me tell you what really matters. It's now. Now. You say, what do you mean now? I'm talking about right here. Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church sitting here tonight. This is what matters. What happened yesterday is gone. What's coming up tomorrow? We ain't even there yet. God is, but we're not. You know what I've learned? And I've not learned a lot. But did you know that the only time that I've really ever experienced the peace of God, Pastor Jason, I never experienced the peace of God when I'm worried about my past. And I've never experienced the peace of God when I'm anxious about tomorrow. The only time in my life as your pastor that I've truly experienced the presence and the peace of God is in the moment now. That's when I've experienced it, is in the now. It's in the now.